Okay, here we go again. Show number 6, I think we're at, right?
Yeah, it sounds right.
Right on. Okay, yes, I let the music play a little longer. I don't care. That's what I'm going to do. If I got the okay to do it, I'm going to do it. So you are listening to Music, Myths, and Cannabis. My name is Leon. This is my good buddy, Daryl.
How's it going today?
It is going pretty good. Once again, warm. Let me kill this music. There we go. Yeah, a little warm again today.
Yeah,
I do
it is,
not
for
like
sure.
Hot. But hey, whatever. A couple things I wanted to say with the two things. One was when I described in the last episode we were talking about, or it might have been the one before that, we were talking about stories about people and music and whatnot. And I said to you about Billy Corgan,
Corgan, yeah.
Billy Corgan, and I told you a story about his dad. I made a mistake, and that was actually Quentin Tarantino's dad.
Oh, really?
So I totally had that wrong. I totally had that wrong. I did a little bit of research, and Billy Corgan's dad was kind of fucked up. He had a whole lot of jealousy towards his kid. He gave him a bunch of shit saying like, you're lucky and, you know, save your money because it's not going to last long and all this kind of stuff. He was a failed bass player, actually, so he was quite jealous. But anyways, I just wanted to clear that up because I admit I fucked up and somebody else has probably noticed that. And what was the other thing? We were talking about influences and stuff. I didn't even mention the Tragically Hip. The biggest influence in my world, and I didn't even mention him, so...
We'll have to do another one.
I'm sure. Well, yeah, okay, sure, but I'm sure that they're not listening. But you know what? Every time we do one of these shows, it just never ends the thinking of, oh, I should have said that. I should have said this. So
that's just too much to.
It is.
Yeah.
And it pops up new stuff. Like, can't tell you how many times we've been talking. And then I got all, you know, I got notes and stuff of things that I think we're going to talk about. And then we sprout off.
About something totally different. Yeah.
And then I don't know what I'm talking about anymore because it's off the top of my head. Sometimes I fuck up. But anyways, we talked so much about. Daryl had brought up last show about the year 1983. You were talking about Def Leppard, how what an influence that they were on you. So we decided. Well, actually, Daryl thought it was a good idea. We're going to do 1983 this show, and the reason why is because 1983 and 1984 were huge years in music. I started researching. I couldn't believe the shit that came out in these 2 years.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff happened. That's for sure.
So this one, we're going to do 1983. And we are going to, as far as the weed part, we're going to try, what do you want to try first? Let's do the Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson.
We're going to try Mike Tyson.
Hopefully it doesn't knock us out.
Yeah, actually it was quite high. It was like a 33% on that one, which is cool. So the year 1983. Oh my God, have I got notes.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit. Yeah. Okay. Where were you listening to in 83?
Well, first off, where were you in 83?
I was in Saskatchewan, Weyburn.
Oh, Weyburn, Saskatchewan. I almost had a job there.
13-year-old me.
Yeah, I was in Fort McMurray.
I'd just moved from Alberta.
What part of Alberta?
Calgary.
Sorry to hear that. I hope things got better.
Yeah, I only lived there for a year.
But 1983 was a huge freaking year in music. How do you want to start this mess? I mean...
I don't know.
Okay.
For me, 1983 changed everything, made me probably a metalhead that I still am today with the Def Leppard album for sure.
Right, right.
Which I got the cassette. I traded like a box of Playboys that were in an Atari box for the cassette. And the rest is history for me.
Perfect. That's awesome. Kiss took off their makeup that year. Yeah. Came out with Lick It Up.
Yep. That was a big thing.
That was a big thing. Big disappointment is what it was.
Yeah. I didn't mind the album, but yeah.
No, I actually won an air guitar contest with that song, Lick It Up.
Really?
Yeah, I've never done anything like that, but for whatever reason, I won an air contest with that one. Yeah, they did that. Oh, man, The Clash came out with Rock the Casbah. Don't know if you listened to it, but that's the year it came out.
Yep.
Marvin Gaye, Sexual Healing came out that year.
We had Motley Crue, Shout at the Devil, which was a huge one.
Oh, absolutely huge. And the biggest selling record of all time in history of selling records came out that year. Do you know what that was?
No.
Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Oh, yeah. I should have got that.
There you go. Did listen to that a lot. Had that.
It was the first Metallica, too.
Yeah.
It was 83.
Kill 'Em All, right?
Yep, yep.
You know the story how they came up with that name?
Yeah, I can't remember offhand, though.
So they were sitting in the boardroom, and they kept throwing different names. No, they had a certain name. What was the name? It was vulgar. Anyway, Metal Out Our Ass.
Yep.
I think was the name of the album that they wanted to name the album, and all the execs said, well, you can't call it that.
Yeah, Metal
and
Up then, Your Ass, yeah.
And then one of the guys in the band said, like, basically, kill them all, listen, kill the executives. So they called the album Kill 'Em All.
And that was, Dave Mustaine, I think, from Megadeth, wrote most of those songs, but he didn't appear on the album. He was fired before.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
Yeah, and they had Kurt Hammett come in.
He was raised as a Jehovah's Witness.
He was, yeah.
which I could relate to. Yeah. Because of the cult I was raised in.
Yeah.
But I didn't listen to Metallica back in 83.
I actually didn't either. I kind of Master of Puppets went back. I think we talked about that earlier.
Yeah, yeah. Quiet Riot. Definitely.
Quiet Riot was a big one for me.
Yeah, yeah. Me too. That guy ended up dying in his mom's basement alone. Broke.
Yeah, yeah. I saw them once, the original lineup in Abbotsford.
In a small bar,
just a little tiny bar.
Original lineup too.
Yeah. Wow. It was like later on when they got back together, like I want to say 99, somewhere's in there, 90 something.
Oh, sorry, I missed that one. I totally would have loved
it. Yeah, it was fun for sure.
Another album that was huge for me that came out that year was ZZ Top's Eliminator.
Yeah, that was a big one.
Yeah, I liked ZZ Top, but it was more like a song on each album or whatnot. But when that one came out, I pretty much liked every single freaking, every song.
It was also the first Queensryche album, the EP. I know you're kind of a fan of them, but they were kind of more Maiden-ish on that album for sure. They definitely changed their sound after that.
No, I didn't know that. First album, first year that Ice-T came out with an album too.
Oh, really? Yeah.
You probably didn't know that.
No, I did not know that. I do like Ice-T though.
You know what was the biggest of that year? Because of course Michael Jackson's album came out that year, but he didn't necessarily, wasn't the big, like it took a little while for that. Like it was a big hit at first, but it had so many hits on that album and it took a while for it to turn into what it is today. But that year, the biggest album was actually Herbie Hancock, Rocket. You remember that one?
Yep.
The video and the guy, all the shit was
moving. I got Culture Club, Karma Chameleon was a huge one.
Totally.
Billy Joel, Uptown Girl.
Uptown Girl, yeah. Yeah, it was a big year for Billy Joel, for
David Bowie, Let's Dance was up in the charts.
Yeah, that was his big comeback.
Yeah.
Did you ever notice he's got two different colored eyeballs?
Yes, I did, actually.
Did I tell you the story of what that was about?
No.
He had an autistic brother. And he was going to school and stuff, and people were picking on his brother. And long story short, he ended up getting in a fight and got kicked in the head, and it changed. It paralyzed one of his eyes, and that's why he's got two different colored eyes.
My daughter has two different color eyes, actually.
No way! What colors?
Brown and green.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Same. Her grandma did too, her great grandma.
Craziness. 83. Men at Work.
Men at Work. Yeah, I like Men at Work.
Oh, here's a big one. 83. The U.S. Music Festival.
Us Music, yeah, Us.
Oh, sorry, my mistake, you're right, Us Music Festival. So what they did was they broke it down. You sparked my interest with the poster you sent me.
Yeah, 3 days thing.
Yeah, and then I did some more research, and so they broke it down into 3 days. The first day was New Wave Day. They had INXS, Men at Work, Flock of Seagulls, The Clash, Stray Cats. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's Heavy Metal Day. Day two, Heavy Metal Day. Judas Priest, Quiet Riot, Motley Crue, Ozzy, and Van Halen.
Yeah, and Scorpions too.
Were they?
And Triumph.
On day two?
Yep.
Now, day three, supposedly Rock Day.
Yep.
U2, Missing Persons, The Pretenders, Joe Walsh, Stevie Nicks, and David Bowie.
See, Joe Walsh was on the Heavy Metal Day for some reason.
Okay.
And then John Cougar, Mellencamp, pulled out of the day three, so they switched Joe Walsh over.
Interesting. Weird. But I don't know if I'd put some of these, I'd shuffle them around.
Yeah, for sure.
Missing Persons definitely doesn't deserve
it. And then David Bowie and Van Halen got like $1.5 million each for that performance.
And then you said something about Van Halen held out until they got the same amount of money?
Yeah, they had it in their contract that no one could make more than them. And then they wanted David Bowie so badly, he's like, this is what I need. So they had to match it.
I wonder if they pulled the that rider thing that they do, Van Halen.
Maybe. But I guess The Clash was really pissed off about it because they only got $500,000 and they headlined their day.
Yeah, fuck
it. And they even talked about it on the stage. And then the promoter or the whoever was running the show behind them on the big screen put how much they were making.
No,
like their check
way
behind them, and I guess it really pissed them off.
I didn't know anything about that. That is hilarious. I do have some stats on who bankrolled that show, though. Do you know who it was?
I do. I just was watching a thing today. I can't think of his name offhand.
Steve Wozniak.
Yeah, Apple guy.
Co-founder of Apple, yeah.
Yeah.
670,000 people showed up at that show.
Apparently Van Halen said they lost more money than they made.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
There was something in their contract where they had to do all the video for some concert or something.
Like Van Halen, you're saying,
yes,
lost money?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Because I know for a fact that Steve Wozniak, like he didn't bring back near as many millions as he put out there. So it was a flop in that sense. But it was, you know what? It was the first show that had the huge giant screen TVs.
Yeah.
400,000 watt sound system. Can you imagine that?
670,000 people in the 3 days.
Exactly. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And you know those misting stations? Have you ever been to Disneyland?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Those were invented for that.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. I'm sure Steve Wozniak was behind that or something like that. But yeah, he lost millions on it. Maybe we should start hitting this weed.
Yes, for sure.
Because I told you I wanted to kind of roll it in with the show.
Some hits, some Mike Tyson.
Yeah, let's do the Mike Tyson. Let's give it a check out. I've never smoked Mike Tyson, but as I said to you before, they got so many different names I could have without even...
Yeah, I tried one today. I did not mind it at all.
Yeah, you got it on you?
Yeah, I do. I think I already gave it to you. No, oh, here it is.
Let's have a sniff. Okay. Little tight buds, Mike Tyson. I would totally announce the dispensaries and stuff like that when we got weed, but I have to be fair and honest. 9 out of 10 of the weed we get is not from a dispensary.
Yeah, exactly.
But maybe we could change that. If anybody out there listening wants to promote and give us some flavors,
we will take some, yes.
Absolutely, and we'll promote your little dispensary or whatever. Oh, yeah, that's got a nice flavor smell to it. How would you describe that scent?
I'm going to try again here. Don't remember.
Oh, yeah, it's got like a... kind of like a little skunky, fruity skunk to it.
Yeah, I definitely can see that.
I would call it that. So, had a big work party on the weekend. It went well, but I, as I mentioned before, I work in the weed industry, so I got to say, these work parties are a whole lot different than the ones I had at Walmart. Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, like that cone joint that you showed me a picture of.
Oh, man, yeah, I showed you the picture, and then I showed you the empty cone. That thing has got to be, I don't know, close to a foot long. It took about a little less than a half an ounce to fill, and maybe somewhere between a third and a half an ounce to fill. Plus, there was about 2 grams of hash in there. And it was pretty cool. I mean, it lit up. There's a TikTok video. I sent you that.
Yeah, you can send me the video. Yeah,
I'll see if I can't add it to the links at the end of this.
How long does it burn? Something big that big?
That burnt. I was kind of surprised, to be honest with you. It burnt about maybe 20 minutes.
Yeah,
I was surprised that it didn't burn longer. And we had this fucking guy showed up. Nobody knew him. And he's like, I want a hit of that. And he was just shit-faced out of his head and falling down and stuff. And he wanted a hit of that. And I said, yeah, that's fine. No problem. But I just, after everybody's done, then you can have what's left. I wasn't about to.
We don't want your drunk slumber.
No, that's about what it rolled down to. But it packed nice. The only problem I'd have to say about that enormous cone was as soon as you sparked it up, it started to get weak in the base of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So all the snipping you hear is me cutting up bud, by the way. Snip, snip, snip.
No grinder today.
I do have the grinder. I don't know why I grabbed the scissors, but whatever. I do, as I said before on the show, I definitely prefer smoking it with scissors cutting it up. This grinder's pretty cool, though. This, I don't know how the hell you'd say that name. LCFUN, that one.
I don't know how to say it either.
It is a cool grinder. It's taller than others. It's a little bit fatter than others, so I don't scratch myself. I do like it. So in the meantime, while I roll this, what else happened in 83?
It was Black Sabbath went on to like their third singer, which was actually the singer from Deep Purple. And they released one album called Born Again.
Which singer?
Ian Gillan.
He sang for, I didn't even
just
know.
Just the one album, yeah. 1983.
A whole album?
Yep, the whole album. Holy shit. Yeah.
What year did that, you might not, this, I wasn't expecting to talk about this, and this is what I just said a few minutes ago, but what year did that Deep Purple... Perfect Strangers, what year did that come out, do you know?
85.
Okay, I was never really that big of a Deep Purple fan.
Until that, yeah.
That one.
And then it kind of back catalog, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of like that one.
Yeah, I like their old stuff for sure.
I can't stand Smoke on the Water, it's just overplayed.
Yeah, it's just overplayed.
And plus, I play guitar and I can't read music, so I play by, well, back in the day, I'd push play along with it, hit rewind, play.
I'm sure
rewind.
You must know the song Highway Star, that's like...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I like that one.
That one's pretty good. Isn't that off of the Perfect Strangers album, or is that...
No, that's older for sure.
You know what Smoke on the Water is about?
Yeah, the place burning down, the casino.
Yeah, it was Frank Zappa's place.
Yeah, yeah.
And they actually mentioned in the song, Frank Zappa and the Mothers. But I guess some guy shot a flare gun, burnt the place to the ground, just like the song says.
Yeah.
Just licking this doobie. I was going to do a little test with that rolling machine thing that you gave me, but
I've never used it either. I've seen it being used, but yeah, I could never get the knack of it.
It's a novelty. I totally understand how it works, and I rolled a couple doobies with it, but I have to admit my doobies are a lot fatter than that
wants
to pop out.
Yeah.
And I'm not willing to downgrade, so. Okay, I got this doobie rolled. Some people actually refer to 83 as, it was also the year of Every Breath You Take.
Yeah, that was a big one. Police, that, what's that, Synchronicity? Yeah,
Synchronicity.
That was a huge album for me,
Those guys fucking hated each other. They got, actually, Sting and the drummer got into an actual physical fight when they were recording that.
Really?
Yep. Huh. And the manager wanted to quit. Here we go, fire in the hole. Yeah, the manager wanted to quit. They fucking did. Do you know why he calls himself Sting?
I do not, no. I don't even know his real name.
Oh, I couldn't tell you his real name.
Yeah, yeah.
No. He calls himself Sting because I guess they would go do gigs, and he was wearing this black and yellow striped kind of suit. And he, I guess they were making fun of him. He looked like a bee, and next thing you know, he's called Sting.
Haven't heard nothing from him in a while. Is he even alive?
All I hear from him is his tantric sex.
Yeah.
Well, how he sticks it in his wife and they lay there for 7 hours. Yeah. It's like, fuck, whatever. That's way more than I need to know about you, buddy.
Probably one thing that would do really good, reunion, the Police.
Yeah, they did come back together. Like they broke up after the tour for the Synchronicity album. They broke up, and then I guess they got back together, I think it was, 2009 or something like that.
Really?
But they vowed that they wouldn't record anything. So I guess the stress for them was being in the recording studio as opposed to...
His solo career did very well too, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't read the write-up about this.
About the Mike Tyson?
Yeah, there you go. It's nice. It's pretty smooth. I definitely would buy that.
Hopefully it doesn't make us want to bite a ear off anybody.
I remember exactly where I was with that.
He has edibles now, eh? With the ears? The Mike Tyson edibles?
No way.
And they're in the shape of an ear?
Oh, that got me.
Yeah.
I did not know that. That is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, you'll have to look it up later. It's kind of funny.
I'm going to have to.
Evander Holyfield might have a part in it too, maybe.
he gets a piece.
Yeah.
He gets a chunk of that. Fucking funny, man. Thriller, like I said, best album in history.
It was on the charts for like 22 weeks, I think I read.
Well, I was doing some research for something else about the Rumours album by Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
And it says by the numbers, one in every three houses has that album.
Thriller, so, yeah.
No.
Fleetwood Mac, yeah.
So I can't even imagine.
How many people have the Thriller,
How many people have Thriller? I probably had more than one, actually. Like, I got the cassette.
I definitely had the cassette. I think I might have the album in later years.
But like I said to you before, I was a big roller skater. So I'd be like roller skating, and I was already into Michael and the funky shit. Mike Tyson. Okay, here's the breakdown of Mike Tyson. It says it's 32.8% THC. 0.02 CBDs, which is pretty low on the CBDs, but whatever, that doesn't matter. The effects are going to be the effects. It's named from the former undisputed heavyweight champion Mike Tyson. It's index of strain, sure to knock you out, with a pungent diesel aroma. I hear that diesel a lot with weed, but I can't say I've ever smelt a weed where I'd go.
Tyson sure likes his weed. I always see him on Facebook or videos of him smoking with Ric Flair.
Did you watch wrestling much?
A little bit, yeah. I kind of had my phase, and then I got out of it, and then my kid got into it, so I kind of started watching and taking him to them and stuff.
I never, ever got into that.
It's fun to go to, I must say.
Yeah, I watched a small amount of the Calgary Stampede when I was real young.
I went to them a couple when I lived there, for sure.
In the meantime.
Yeah.
And in between time.
I find it funny of all the 30, 40-year-old men walking around with the belt at the wrestling match. Like, they just won it or something. They're so proud.
I couldn't get the belt shit either. My kid Jason, he has a couple of them.
It's okay to have them, but to actually to have it over your shoulder when you go to the wrestling match is kind of funny, I think.
And he's not 40.
Yeah.
So he's got a pass there. You got a pass, kid. No problem. It's all good. Yeah. Sorry I called you all those names in your kid.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I didn't. To your face. No, I'm kidding. So anyways, this diesel aroma says Tyson delivers a punch of indica effects known to fully relax the body and dull pain, stress, and insomnia. And it'll also fix appetite loss. This strain is not intended for the first-time users. That is definitely not us. And should only be consumed by indica connoisseurs. I prefer my indicas. How about you?
Yeah, me too.
Over sativa? Yeah,
100%.
Although I have had a couple sativas that really tasted good, and it was kind of good not to necessarily be, but I never really get, like, people say, like, I read these reviews and shit.
Like,
and
the difference in them?
It's not, it's, I don't get, like, as they call it, in the couch lock or whatever. I don't get that.
Yeah.
Like, I never get it, and I don't get the munchies. There's
definitely some weed that make you more energetic, for sure, than others.
Yeah. What about munchies? Can you say, like, oh, I got the munchies?
About the same on any weed. I don't think there's a difference, really.
I don't get what you call the munchies, people. I don't know. Maybe had maybe
you might
had
get a craving with, or something, but yeah, that I don't know.
Maybe it has something to do with when I was a kid being broken. I'm worried if I eat something, it's going to kill my buzz. Maybe I don't know.
Don't have a shower after you smoke. That's not always heard.
Yeah, right. And don't look in the mirror. That was more like acid, though. But
yeah. Oh God.
So the webpage I'm looking at says it's like $80 for a quarter ounce of this shit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not paying that.
That must be American. Where am I here? Leafly? Oh, no, I'm at a website called PotHub. They got pretty good information. See, I either get it from here or Leafly. Leafly is a good one. Yeah, this isn't bad. I mean, it burns nice.
Definitely like the taste for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of these I was reading, it's like you'll get this kind of buzz like right away, and then that'll float down, and then you'll go into, you know, where you're sitting on the couch or much less stressful. But I can't break weed down that like that myself.
So where were you in 83? Saskatchewan?
No, I was up in Fort McMurray. So a lot of roller skating. My main hobbies up in Fort McMurray were roller skating, shooting pool, and smoking weed.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say 83, 84 was probably my first smoking weed. I'm not sure of the exact date, but in there somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. On that one show, we talked about our first times, and that was, for me, it was up in Fort McMurray. The story about my brother leaving the weed behind, my parents found it. They thought it was mine. That was the first time I got high, but that was probably was around 83, as you say.
Yeah.
Can't imagine it was any earlier. I don't know, shitty weed for sure. Got a buzz off of it that time. Not this Mike Tyson, I'm talking about the shit I smoked first, or anything I got in 1983. It's either that or high hash. Here's the funny thing, back in 83 with hash was, fuck, you could go to the mall and for $10 for a gram of blonde, 15 for a gram of red Lebanese hash, and then $20 for a gram of black hash. How the fuck did they have three different kinds of hash on a regular basis? And I've never to this day ever seen blonde or red ever again.
Yeah, I hear you.
But I've gone to the dispensary and
Gold Seal was a big thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. If you got a chunk of that Gold Seal, that was proof right there. I've gotten some hashes from the dispensaries, but it's just never the same. It just doesn't. I don't know. It seems to me that it's almost like keef mixed in with oil. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, actually, that reminds me of one thing. I wanted to kind of change my numbers. You were asking me about what's a high level for THC, what's a low level and shit. I said 20 was kind of low and 30 was kind of high. 30 is nice and high, but 30 or 20 is actually most of the weed when you go to dispensary, you're going to be looking around 17. So I got to knock that down about three numbers. I'll knock it down from 17 to not necessarily low, but, you know, where you get a good buzz. I'll put it this way. If it's below 15, it's shit. So 15, 17 is kind of going to be your average. Getting up to 23, you're going to be like mid high. And then up in the 30s, you're definitely up on the high end. Snoop Dogg says he's got weed. His weed's 50%, but that's complete bullshit.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
He's like that. He's a good guy. I actually quite like
Snoop. Yeah, I like Snoop.
So anything, what else happened?
He's like everywhere, it seems like.
Oh, fuck, man. He had a show with Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
And he fucking...
Super Bowl and wrestling.
I know. He's all over the place. I saw some kind of...
He's on some commercial now I just see for... I don't even know what it's for.
But they'll accept...
Oh, for Corona, I think.
Yeah, they'll accept him for like kids stuff even.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's all cool for him.
Yeah.
But then again, me with the Howard Stern, like, you know, Coke, McDonald's pulled their fucking commercials from his show because it's Howard. But I mean,
yeah, I just seen a thing with him the other day where he's talking about like, where is all the money going from the Spotify stuff? Like he said, I have a million listens, but I don't have $1 million in my pocket from these songs.
Yeah, you know? There you go. Hey, oh, I thought it was funny last week. I was, remember how we got busted for that copyright thing?
Yeah.
I saw on Twitter, Cypress Hill posted their own song and got busted by YouTube.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It got taken down because of copyright infringement.
Well, it's like the CCR thing when John Fogerty got sued for sounding too much like himself.
No. How did that come up?
You don't know that one?
No.
He quit CCR or whatever and had his own stuff, so they sued him because he sounded too much like himself.
What else is he supposed to sound like? Jesus Christ, that's so stupid. What else happened in 83 here? Flashdance. Yeah. Remember that movie?
I do.
Now, the funny thing with Flashdance, if you haven't seen the movie, I'm not saying it's even worth seeing, but the thing is that when it came out, it was different. There was a lot of dancing and this, but here, this is what I'm getting to. That's where breakdancing actually got to the masses. People knew about breakdancing like in the urban city, like downtown New York and shit. People were doing it.
But to actually see it, yeah.
But when people saw it, yeah, so Michael Jackson, he's doing the moonwalk. He wasn't by any means the first guy to do the moonwalk either. I've seen a video before of some guy back in like the 30s doing it. It was just a move that I think mimes did it. It was a thing that mimes did when they're trying to pretend to pull on that rope. But yeah, breakdancing busted out in 83. Of course, you can't say it died. People still breakdance, but it's more kind of in the hip-hop dance, and it's kind of just kind of little pieces in there. Peter Gabriel left Genesis in 83. And the funny thing with that is we talked about this a little earlier, I wasn't necessarily a huge Genesis fan, especially with the Peter Gabriel, but when they split up, that song Mama that you sent me a link to, oh, in fact, that was awesome. That was totally my kind of jam in the day. And Peter Gabriel, but when Phil Collins left Genesis and did his own solo shit, it was just so hokey and poppy, just kind of Studio and all that shit. I didn't get into any of that, but with Peter Gabriel, he had a few songs I did like Sledgehammer, for instance. That's a good tune. I have to say, Harry Styles went on the Howard Stern show. I know, sorry, whatever. Howard Stern again. But this is where I get a lot of information and I see a lot of these artists. And he went on there and he did a version of Sledgehammer and fucking knocked it right out of the park.
That video was quite the thing back in the day, Sledgehammer video.
Absolutely. It was something that people hadn't even seen. And videos were just starting to come in 83.
Yeah.
I know
MTV just started in 81.
In 81, so. But it wasn't the thing that it became by 83. And they were doing music videos way before that. I mean, look at, say, just off the top of my head, what's that one? Stuck in the Middle Again. What is that one?
Yeah, I know the song. I can't.
Stealer.
Yes, maybe.
Steal. Oh, it's right on the tip of my tongue. That was 72. They had a full video for that. So videos were around. It was just getting them all into
one
channel.
They just weren't broadcast on TV.
Yeah. And then, and also by 83, that's when they started, let's make a video to put on this channel.
Yeah.
So it became its big thing.
To show
thing.
Off our song or whatever.
Exactly. So how's the Mike Tyson feeling?
Actually really good.
Yeah, I can definitely feel that. I promise I won't bite your ear. I would warn you that if I got that feeling, I'd let you know. I'd buy it for sure. I like getting the stuff with the high THC. Just a couple of quick hoots and you can actually feel it. I can't stand it when you got to smoke three doobies. I get sick of smoking. You know, sometimes it's just too much smoke.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay, there we go. 1983. We covered Mike Tyson. That's all the information I got. Like I said, if any dispensary wants to hand us some weed, we'll mention dispensary, insert name here. See what I did there? Anyways, all right, we're going to sign out, and I will talk to you guys later, and I'll talk to you later.
Cheers.